Welcome to the podcast for the weekend of November 17, 2023. This week we pray for our veterans. We also pray in thanksgiving for our nation and for the bounties of the harvest. Our first reading is from Zephaniah chapter 1. Be silent before the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice and consecrated his guests. And on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons and all who array themselves in foreign attire. On that day, I will punish everyone who leaps over the threshold and those who fill their master's house with violence and fraud. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will be heard from the fish gate, a wail from the second quarter, a loud crash from the hills. Wail, O inhabitants of the mortar, for all the traitors are no more. All who weigh out silver are cut off. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps, and I will punish the men who are complacent, those who say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good, nor will he do ill. Their goods shall be plundered, and their houses laid waste. Though they build houses, they shall not inhabit them. Though they plant vineyards, they shall not drink wine from them. The great day of the Lord is near. Near and hastening fast. The sound of the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty man cries aloud there. A day of wrath is that day, a day of distress and anguish, a day of ruin and devastation, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of trumpet blast and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the lofty battlements. Our next reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul writes, Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying, There's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Our next reading is from Matthew chapter 25. Jesus says, For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he, who had received the 5 talents, came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents here. I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And the reading for our discussion is from Luke chapter 11. Now, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, When you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation. And he said to them, Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within, Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, though, he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend. Yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, he was casting out a demon that was mute. When the demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But some of them said, He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons. While others, to test him, kept seeking from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided household falls. And if Satan also is divided against himself, how will his kingdom stand? For you say that I cast out demons by Beelzebul. And if I cast out demons by Beelzebul, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore, they will be your judges. But if it is by the finger of God that I cast out demons, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor in which he trusted and divides his spoil. Whoever is not with me is against me, and whoever does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, and finding none, it says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when it comes, it finds the house swept and put in order. Then it goes and brings 7 other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that person is worse than the first. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed. But he said, Blessed, rather, are those who hear the word of God and keep it. When the crowds were increasing, He began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. The Queen of the South will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, someone greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, something greater than Jonah is here." No one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Therefore, be careful lest the light in you be darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, it will be wholly bright, as when a lamp with its rays gives you light. While Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee asked him to dine with him. So he went in and reclined at table. The Pharisee was astonished to see that he did not first wash before dinner. And the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees, cleanse the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you. But woe to you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and every herb, and neglect justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you, Pharisees, for you love the best seat in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like unmarked graves, and people walk over them without knowing it." One of the lawyers answered him, "Teacher, in saying these things you insult us also." And he said, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load people with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophets whom your fathers killed. So you are witnesses, and you consent to the deeds of your fathers, for they killed them, and you build their tombs. Therefore also, the wisdom of God said, 'I will send them prophets and apostles, some of whom they will kill and persecute, so that the blood of all the prophets shed from the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the altar and the sanctuary.' Yes, I tell you, it will be required of this generation. Woe to you, lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter yourselves, and you hindered those who were entering." As he went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. Christ is risen, he has risen indeed. Alleluia. Have you ever felt lonely, feeling like there was no one to talk to? In the early times of our world, when we speak of the Garden of Eden and of Adam and Eve, there was a time when humanity walked with God in the Garden of Eden and spoke with him. God himself walked in the Garden of Eden. Wouldn't you like to be able to walk with your Heavenly Father and converse with him in the same way that you speak with your own father, your brother, your family members, or friends? That was something which was possible for Adam. We learn in the fourth chapter of Genesis, after the fall, that things had changed. There came a point where God more or less withdrew from the creation, no longer operating as he did in the days of Adam. Now, that is not to say that God is not with us right now, but we are not in a situation where we speak to God and God right way answers us in real time as would happen in a conversation. At that point in history, in that fourth chapter of Genesis, humanity began to call upon the name of the Lord. That means in order to properly talk to God, people had to call upon God's name and pray to him. In that way, the first two commandments are essential. Firstly, that we shall have no other gods than the true God. As the commandment states, you shall have no other gods. And secondly, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. God's name is precious. The Hebrew name of God, Yahweh, is precious. We should not misuse it. We should not use the name irreverently, but with care and due reverence. In many times in Scripture, when God's name, his holy name, is used, it is capitalized, L-O-R-D. All the letters are capitalized, and that is indicating that the holy name of God is being used in that passage of Scripture. It refers to the Lord. His name means, I am who I am, or I will be who I will be. So within God's name is the idea that God simply is. God is eternal, without beginning and without end. And so it is true that God exists. He was, is, and ever shall be. To our God, we have the privilege of speaking every day and night. God does not want us to hide from him, but to come to him and talk to him. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus invites us to draw near to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Jesus teaches his disciples and us to pray, Father, hallowed be your name. When we pray, our Father who art in heaven, we address the Heavenly Father like the beginning of a letter, with where we say, Dear Father. Then we move right into the petitions, which are the body of the letter. We pray that God's name would be kept holy, keeping the second commandment. There are no other gods, and so our Heavenly Father alone deserves our reverence. We use God's name with love and devotion. We pray that God's kingdom would come. It has come in Christ. But we live in a world where we await the fullness of God's kingdom. The fallen world will one day be rolled up like a garment, and God will bring about a new heavens and a new earth. We pray that God would provide our daily bread. Daily bread is more than just bread. It refers to everything that we could ever need. There's a difference here between our covetous desires and what we actually need. There is plenty that we want that we could do without, but God provides what we truly need. He does so all the time, even without our asking. Next, we pray that God would forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone who is indebted to us. If we want to be forgiven, we ought to forgive others. Finally, we pray that God would lead us not into temptation. As Luther's Small Catechism states, God tempts no one. What we are doing is praying that God would guard us in time of temptation and lead us from it. And so that's how Jesus ends the prayer. And we also add the words, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's kind of like the concluding part of a letter where we sign it sincerely and then our name. But we were doing even more than that. We are acknowledging that all power and glory belongs to God, and we are praying that these petitions will be so, just as God has asked us to pray them, he will grant them. God already knows what we're going to pray before we pray it, but he wants us to pray. He wants us to pray to him. It is an act of faith. Jesus is going to expand on us asking for what we need. Now, it was normal for people in that day to use form-type prayers. So when people tell us, you should pray from the heart, There's actually nothing wrong at all with praying the prayer our Lord has taught us. It covers well all our needs, and God Himself has given it to us. We need not make it into a law that we have to pray a prayer from the heart. God accepts our prayers, and what better prayer can we use than the one that He has given us? After this, Jesus tells the parable of a persistent friend who comes at night and asks for loaves of bread. Jesus tells of the value of persistence in prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Jesus explains that a father will not give his children bad things when they ask for what they need, such as a serpent instead of a fish or a scorpion instead of an egg. How much more our Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him. Here we have a clue that this asking is not a worldly-minded asking. Certainly God will provide for our needs when we are earnestly asking, but He will especially grant spiritual requests, especially when we're seeking to know Him and His ways more clearly and fully. In verse 14, we hear of Jesus casting out a mute demon, and once it was cast out, a man could speak. This brought an accusation that Jesus was casting out demons by the power of the prince of demons. Others were asking signs of Jesus. Jesus pointed out that a kingdom could not be divided against itself or it would fall. Division weakens. Jesus really does stand against the evil of the devil and his kingdom. Jesus is doing this by God's power. Jesus also speaks of the nature of possession. The healing that Jesus gives is not such that a spirit will be able to return. If Jesus' healing was superficial, a spirit might come back, bringing with it many other spirits, and so the person's condition would be worse. Jesus directs his hearers to the word of God and tells them of the sign of Jonah. No sign would be given this generation except for the sign of Jonah. He said, "The generation was an evil generation seeking a sign, but the one given would be the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the fish, so Jesus would be in the belly of the earth." This was a harbinger, a foretelling of his dying and his rising. What Jesus brings is even greater than Solomon, and other generations would rise up one day to condemn those of the current generation for seeking signs when one greater than Jonah, God's very own son, is here. Starting at verse 33, Jesus tells parables about light with vivid imagery of a lamp on a stand. One doesn't light a lamp only to cover it or hide it. Jesus ever more boldly preaches and heals. He brings God's kingdom is going to bring about the defeat of death and the grave in the times to come. The eye is the lamp of the body. It lets light in. This is a commentary on our influences in life. We can either let darkness or light into our lives. If we let in light, we will be full of light. The Pharisees are critical of Jesus not first washing before dinner. At our recent pastor's meeting, we discussed how Jesus often touched unclean things, the sick, lepers, the demon-possessed. Wouldn't that make him unclean? It would, but in healing them, He is cleansing them. They are now clean, and He takes the sin and the uncleanness into Himself. But He is what makes them clean, and He is clean Himself. Perhaps He purposely did not wash, so as to draw attention to the fact that the Pharisees themselves were actually unclean, full of greed and wickedness. It is God who cleanses the outside and the inside. Jesus says, "Give as alms those things that are within, and behold, everything is clean for you." To me, this sounds like giving our uncleanness away in the rite of confession. If we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Yet the Pharisees were strict in their observance of the law, tithing down to the herbs in their spice racks, but neglecting true justice and the love of God. In other words, their focuses were on the wrong things, not on the big picture stuff. They love keeping up appearances, having the best seats, and receiving greetings, but they are really more like unmarked tombs that people walk over without knowing. Following the Pharisees will lead to death, because the way of the law can never be satisfied, and it is not a way of love. It is only in Christ that we can truly have forgiveness, life, and salvation. That will be even more clear when Christ rises from the dead. Now Jesus moves on to criticizing the lawyers, speaking of the great burden they place on people's consciences, even while they do not do the heavy lifting themselves. They might say they honor the prophets, but they really build the tombs that their very own fathers of the prophets, their very own fathers killed. The blood of the prophets will be on their hands. They hinder others from entering the kingdom of God with all their requirements. More and more, the Pharisees and lawyers are going to press Jesus hard, buffeting Jesus with their attacks. We follow Jesus on the way to the cross. We see a great contrast in the ways of the world versus the ways of the kingdom of God. The world is fallen. In it, we can see how things break down, how civility breaks down, how sin creeps in, and everything goes awry. Jesus' kingdom will be different. God wants us to seek His ways, which are different from the world's ways. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord Jesus, we are in the world, but You do not desire that we be of the world. Let us live our lives as lamps on a stand, and help us to take in what is good and noble and right and true. Let us be a witness to You as we live our lives. We pray these things in Your name, O Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with additional prayers. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray for the veterans of our nation, for those who have served, for those who have returned with injuries of any kind, for those who suffer from PTSD, and for those who may still be imprisoned as prisoners of war, and for the families of those missing in action, that they might find closure. Lord, comfort them and care for them in all their needs. Lord Heavenly Father, we pray in thanksgiving for the blessings that You've given our nation and its people. We pray, O Lord, that You would help us to give great thanks at the harvest from Your bountiful gifts. And we pray that as there are many who are struggling, many in need, many who may not have enough in this season, that they would know Your provision and know Your great love in their lives through Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen. Our special verse this week comes from Matthew chapter 25 in the parable of the talents. And we hear the words in this verse that we hope that our Lord will one day speak to us when we go to meet Him. Verse 21, His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." All of our scriptures, all of our verses come from the English Standard Version of Scripture.
Eternal Father, strong to save, whose arm hath bound the the restless wave, who bids the mighty ocean deep its own appointed limits keep. Oh, hear us when we cry to thee for those in peril on the sea. Oh, Christ, the Lord of hill and plain, o'er which our traffic runs amain, by mountain pass or valley low, wherever, Lord, thy people go, protect them by thy guarding hand from every peril on the land. O Spirit, whom the Father sent to spread abroad the firmament, O wind of heaven, by thy might save all who dare the eagle's flight, and keep them by thy watchful care from every peril in the air. O Trinity of love and power, our people shield in danger's hour, from rock and tempest, fire and foe, protect them wheresoe'er they go. Thus evermore shall rise to thee glad praise from air and land and sea. God himself is present, let us now adore him, and with awe appear before him. God is in his temple, all within keep silence, humbly kneel in deepest reverence. He alone on his throne is our God and Savior. Praise his name forever. God himself is present, hear the harps resounding, see the host, the thrones arounding. Holy, 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 hear the hymn ascending, songs of saints and angels blending. Bow your ear to us here. Hear, O Christ, the praises that your church now raises. Of every blessing, purify my spirit, trusting only in your merit. Like the holy angels worshiping before you, ceaselessly adore you. Let your will ever still Fight the good fight with all your might. Christ is your strength and Christ your right. Lay hold on life and it shall be your joy and crown eternally. Run the straight race through God's good grace. Lift up your eyes and seek His face. Life with its way before us lies. Christ is the path and Christ the prize. Cast care aside, lean on your guide. His boundless mercy will provide. Trust and enduring faith shall prove. Christ is your life and Christ your love. Faint not nor fear, His arms are near. He changes not who holds you dear. Only believe and you will see that Christ is all eternally. My faith looks up to Thee, Thou Lamb of Calvary, Savior divine. Now hear me while I pray, take all my guilt away. Oh, let me from this day be wholly Thine. May Thy rich grace impart strength to my fainting heart, my zeal inspire. As Thou hast died for me, changeless be a living fire. While life's dark maze I tread and griefs around me spread, be Thou my guide. Mid darkness turn to day, wipe sorrow's tears away, nor let me ever stray from Thee aside. When in life's transient dream, when death's cold soul and stream shall o'er me, Savior, then in love, fear and distrust remove. Oh, bear me safe above a ransomed soul. We praise You, O God, our Redeemer, Creator. In grateful devotion our tribute we bring. We lay it before You, we
and adore you. We bless your holy name, glad praises we sing.
We worship you, God of our fathers, we bless you. Through trial and tempest our guide you have been. When perils o'ertake us, you will not forsake us. And with your help, O Lord, our struggles we win. With voices united, our praises we offer, and gladly our songs of thanksgiving we raise. With you, Lord, beside us, your strong arm will guide us. To you, our great Redeemer, forever be praised.